You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.
Hello, gentle listener. While Geek.io holds its talent to the highest standards, what follows will likely involve the sort of language usually reserved for sailors on leave. If you're of a delicate disposition, then perhaps you would consider a different podcast.
How about our other recruit?
He's raring to go. Had to put a little coffee in him, but he should be good.
What time zone is this?
Captain America.
Mr. Lang?
It's an honor.
I'm shaking your hand too long. Wow, this is awesome.
Captain America. I know you too. You're great.
Jeez. Look, I want to say, I know you know a lot of super people, so thanks for thinking of me.
This is the Geek.io Rant and Review with your host, CJ Boat, Jared Azevedo, Raul Garza, and everyone's favorite Aussie, Dale Campbell.
This week, are you Team Cap or Team Stark? Pick a side, because we're talking about Captain America Civil War!
So light and fluffy.
Hi, everybody. This is the Geek.io Show number 152, our rant and review of Captain America Civil War, recorded Thursday, the 12th of May, 2016. I am CJ. If anybody else on my team has any kind of spectacular, amazing superpowers, please let me know. Boat.
I'm Jared. Unbelievable tensile strength as a veto.
Dale still does not know how to podcast.
And considering I'm last in the list.
No, you're not.
Oh, no, I'm not. Why am I not last in the list? I'm normally last in the list.
I know that was fair. The order in the intro, but in the document, you see, it's different. I don't know why that is. I'm very sorry.
I am Dale Kim, and I don't know how to podcast.
I am Raul on Ice Garza.
Nice.
Now you can be Dale. I am awesome. I am awesome. I am awesome. Campbell.
No.
I did this once in a lab.
I did this once in a lab. There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's print it.
Indeed. So, welcome, everybody. This is, we were going to do Gamer Geeks this week, but this thing happened, and I'm going to play a mostly audio trailer for mostly video trailer for an audio podcast.
Mostly visual, all right.
Yeah, let's do this thing.
I mean, there's audio elements in it.
Mostly, somewhat.
No, it's just silent. It's a silent trailer.
Ding!
Nice job. We try to save as many people.
Opening the doors. Bucky
sometimes
coming down.
It doesn't mean everybody. But you don't give up.
Captain America looking bedroom eyes. Marvel symbol. Boom. No. Running, screaming.
Washington, D.C.
Thrashing.
Sokovia.
Stuff blowing
okay.
up.
That's yep. enough. Captain.
Captain looking very afraid. Sulky. More things blowing up.
That's why I'm here.
T'Challa looking sad. Iron Man being awesome.
We need to be put in check. Whatever form that takes, I'm getting.
The raft.
I'm sorry, Tony. If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
So I say to Jazz every time we get done recording S4.
I know we're not perfect.
No comment.
But the safest hands are still our own.
Oh.
I was wrong about you.
you.
The whole world was wrong about you.
Shooting.
I'm not the one that needs to watch their back.
This doesn't have to end in a fight, Tony.
Yeah, though.
You just started a war.
I don't recall that line ever being actually said.
I did.
How do you do?
Stay down. Final warning.
I could do this all day.
I could do this all day.
Punchy, 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 punch, punch, punchy, punch.
I can do something else with that.
All right, there we go.
it's not the Spider-Man one.
No, it might have been, but I still shut it off. Oh well. So this is Captain America: Civil War. Yeah,
Under Rose.
Captain America: Civil War came out last week. Sometime.
May 6th.
May 6th,
Friday.
There we go.
6th.
Starring, of course,
April 27th.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans as Captain America, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man / Tony Stank, Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff, Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson, Don Cheadle as Rhodey, and a big shout out to my favorite person in this entire show, freaking Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa / Black Panther.
T'Challa.
Oh, man. All right. I don't have any of this copied in here because I was watching a weird show on CNN. It can only be seen in theaters right now, so congratulations. Movie synopsis, according to IMDb, is political interference in the Avengers activities causes a rift between former allies Captain America and Iron Man. It's an 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb because IMDb is full of weirdness.
Full of weirdness.
Only an 8.5, Dale, and you're going to go, no.
I don't think Dale loved it as much as we did.
We'll get there. Budget of this movie is $250 million. Opening weekend in the U.S. was $179 million. Gross so far as of yesterday, May 11th, is $215 million in the U.S. alone. That's not including worldwide anywhere.
made back its money domestically.
Yeah, just domestically. I want to see if I can find an international amount for it. Finding UK. Yeah, Dale's going to do that while I go.
$550 million.
I thought it crossed the billion already. Internationally,
worldwide it is $765 million.
There we go. Yeah. Wait, did you just out intern the intern? Good job, Raul.
you said foreign. I can technically give you the foreign number.
T'Challa had a much. Here's some trivia of this. And again, I didn't take any of these ahead of time, so you know. T'Challa had a much smaller role in earlier drafts and didn't appear in costume, as the writers intended to put more focus on Spider-Man and save Black Panther's origin for his own movie. However, when it looked like Marvel would not be getting permission to use Spider-Man, Black Panther's role was beefed up significantly. By the time they did get to use Spider-Man, T'Challa had already become so integral to the plot that they decided to leave his role and give Spider-Man a smaller part.
Wow.
That was
big of him.
Yeah.
I
like how they did the whole Spider-Man. It was like he was in, he was out, and he was done.
Yeah, and he was freaking fantastic while he was there.
And he's great.
It was really good.
What other?
Again, more on that later.
It's okay. It was like the Quicksilver.
Yeah, in Days of Future Past. Yeah, just enough. Tom Holland, Spider-Man, commented on how intimidated he was when he came to audition for Spider-Man. Robert Downey Jr. himself took him aside and said, listen, I remember my screen test for Iron Man. I remember how terrified I was. Just think of it as an audition. It's nothing too scary. If you get it wrong, we'll just start again. No pressure. Oh, good guy, Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Mr. Downey Jr., sir.
You're not intimidating at all.
Yeah. when production of the film wrapped up, Sebastian Stan, Winter Soldier, and Anthony Mackie Falcon raced each other while in each other's super suits.
Oh, wow. I want to see this. I think Winter Soldier had the advantage there.
Yeah, there, when running, those wings will slow you down. That limits your aerodynamics. The finalists for Spider-Man would do separate screen tests, one with Chris Evans and one with Robert Downey Jr., with intent was seeing whose chemistry fit best with both of them.
Dun, dun, okay. Dun.
So they were like trying to figure out which side they were going to put Spider-Man on. Right?
Most likely.
Did Chris Evans look like this the entire time?
Yeah, right. Charlie Cox, probably. who plays the Matt Murdock, was disappointed to not be asked to appear as Daredevil in the film after joining the MCU got him interested in the comics. He was excited to discover that Daredevil was part of the original Civil War story. Unfortunately, it was too late to change their plan to include him. Oddly enough, Cox's contract mandates that he is required to show up in a movie if they is requested of him. And also, Samuel L. Jackson was surprised to discover Nick Fury would not be in the film.
Aw, come on.
What are you motherfuckers talking about? My motherfucking ass isn't going to be in this motherfucking movie. Boy. Yeah. Let's see if I can get some trivia on in here for this. And then we'll talk about production. Which...
It's a Marvel movie. I mean... They put a... Okay.
There's some quotes, rather.
Okay. Oh, yeah, some quotes.
All right. Robert Downey Jr. remarks how... Oh, that's not a quote. I clicked on quote. Why is that in the quotes?
tell us your commentary of a quote in this movie.
It makes no sense. Damn it, IMDb.
Robert Downey Jr. ponders upon the time of about, which he was a part of the Avengers.
About how hot Marissa Tomei is, and yes.
this movie.
Tony Stark, got a passport. Okay. Peter Parker, no, I don't. I don't even have a driver's license. You ever been to Germany?
No.
No. Oh, you'll love it.
I can't go to Germany.
Well, why?
I got the homework.
All right, I am just going to pretend you didn't say that. Oh, man.
Insane.
And of course, the Are You Tony Stank from the
Stanley.
Talented Stanley, who I discovered they did an interview with him about this, and he spelled out that he gets to either improv all of his lines, or he gets to write all of his own lines and all the lines said about him. So the Rocket Raccoon quip about him, just, why don't you go back to your wife, old man? That was him writing him about himself.
That's about right.
He apparently got a real big kick out of writing this one.
That's probably my second favorite Stan Lee cameo.
Oh yeah, are you Tony Stank
after Deadpool?
Deadpool.
Yes.
Yes.
I love the reaction of Rhodey after Tony Stank. That was the best part of that. That was funny. Him saying Tony Stank, and then Rhodey's reaction to it was just brilliant.
No, I just thought it was hilarious because like he showed up. It's the very, very end. I was like, oh yeah,
yeah, right.
we hadn't had our Stan Lee cameo yet. I totally forgot about that.
I was worried that they weren't going to, for some reason, they weren't going to include him.
Well, yeah. Mainly because he's 92 and you think he might be sick right now, you know?
I'll work him in one way or another.
How much do you think he got for that?
I don't think he gets paid for these. I don't. I honestly think he just does them. He gets so much money off of all of his comic books that, you know, you're never. The fact that he's doing these has to be just for fun.
It's just to get out of the house, probably, right?
Yeah, basically.
Stanley's going to do cameos until he has to literally be.
He's just going to film a couple other ones and, like, just for after he's dead.
And then at the end, it'll be like, Stanley.
R.I.P. Stanley, and then everybody will cry. Everybody will cry. Everybody will cry. It's like at the end of Into Darkness, or no, at the end of I wonder if they're going to do anything at the end of Beyond, Star Trek Beyond, for Leonard Nimoy and them.
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, so here's another one between Tony Stark and Peter Parker. I'm going to mainly do this to test to see if Jazz can remember the lines for Peter Parker. So you're the spiderling, crime-fighting spider. You're Spider Boy.
So Spider Man.
Not in that onesie. You're not.
It's not a onesie. I'm totally looking at the same page you are.
Oh, okay.
don't be overly impressed. Hank Pym did say to never trust a Stark.
Who are you?
Come on, man. Star-Lord reference.
Yeah, absolutely. I was expecting... I kind of wanted him to throw that out there. Who are you? Like, some kind of, like, Star Warrior or something?
Oh, man.
Oh, poor Scott Lang.
The, when he shrinks into, the suit?
Yeah, that's exactly what the next one is.
Oh, you're going to have to take this to the shop.
Who's speaking?
It's your conscience. We don't talk a lot these days.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ant-Man was just used to perfection.
Yes! Oh, my God. Yeah, so good.
I've got things to talk about in the second half. Then. Oh,
I'm shaking your hand too much.
Hey, Dale, you get to be Black Panther. I don't think we've been introduced. I'm Clint. Come on, Dale. It's real easy.
I don't care.
There you go.
I did a line. I was just like, Black
Panther. Yeah, I'm looking through these as well. Like, when the two teams start running towards each other, they're not stopping! Oh, man. Yeah. All right, so production value of this movie. Holy crap. Well, no, I do kind of want to get on the topic of some of the CG in this.
They did use their fair share of CG, but a lot of it was actually practical, wasn't it?
A lot of it was, with the exception of Spider-Man. For some reason, they decided to make Spider-Man entirely CG. And the only time it really bothered me is when it was superimposed over his face after his mask got popped off a little bit.
Yep.
That was bad. Like, I'm like, I could see the computer, like, right there, pretty much. Like, it was...
I thought it was CG when the mask was revealed. I'm like... It's really gonna piss
CJ. Oh yeah, that bothered me. I'm like, because it ripped me completely out of it. Like oh man, like there's still vector lines in it.
Crew in your boss's routine.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's vector lines there. I looked. I mean, other than that, like most of the other CG in here was. I mean, it was fine.
They managed to make Giant Man not look dumb.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, the only time that I could really think that I disliked the CG was pretty much anything to do with Spider-Man, and then they started talking, and that made me feel better. Like... Because it was bad. Like, they would put him up against, because they shot a lot of these things on location. So you would get this, like, pan and this obviously CG guy up against a location-based location background. And it was like watching Space Jam. It was weird.
Really, and everyone being so practical, that's why it takes you out.
Because yeah, exactly.
One character that they're really focusing on.
Exactly.
And trying to make him move in particular ways. Spider-Man needs to be practical. Spider-Man's best when he is practical. You know,
I disagree. All of those Sam Raimi movies say otherwise.
Yeah, I know.
But Spider-Man, it'll be a little bit better, I think, when there's not 8,000 things going on at once and it can just focus on him in Homecoming.
True.
But I mean, with everything that was going on at the time, it was jarring seeing that bad of CG there.
Yeah, but not absolutely the personality, but I'm just talking more practically for Spider-Man, like him moving naturally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll give you
moving, and he's best when he's just free slinging around without actually having to be focused on computer-generated effects for him to actually function.
Yeah, that'll give you. The movement even seemed a little unnatural for him.
Apart
from that, like, this didn't bother me nearly as much as, like, the first scene of Age of Ultron. But that was like, really the only part that I took any kind of quote-unquote offense over. The rest of it was just...
There were some of the fight scenes that were a little jarring to me. And I know that's just me, but I felt like there was action sequences that would just stop and then start again. And I got that, and full disclaimer, I have seen this movie twice. So a lot of that second viewing was noticing the stop starts in a lot of the fight sequences.
Yeah.
Which... Yes, I hinted my own opinion of the movie. I know.
Well, I mean, I guess it would. I don't want to say it humanizes them, but it's like it shows that they are tired. I mean, that's how real fight. I mean, you beat the crap out of each other, and if you're both still standing, you're like, okay, catch up, and then you go at it again.
Yeah, no, I get that, but when.
Yeah, there were a couple of days where you could tell, like, it was multiple days of footage pieced together. Like, there would be a couple of things that weren't there, or the sun wouldn't be exactly in the same area as before. I could see where Dale's coming at that from, but those are uncontrollable continuity issues. I mean, especially considering anything with Scarlett Johansson had to be taken a little bit more lightly because she had just given birth when they started filming this movie. Like, she was straight off of maternity leave. So, like, that's the reason why anything that she did, it was very much so, like, very choreographed and a lot slower than you expect out of things from Scarlett Johansson, from Black Widow.
Yeah, and I'm assuming a lot of her scenes were filmed kind of towards the end.
Yeah.
Sure that she was kind of... While she had, you know, recovered from the birth, you know, you don't want to throw someone straight into those situations, but you'd want to put her stuff towards the end.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, absolutely.
More like she used her stun gauntlets a little bit more in this one.
Yes,
she wasn't as
not as much as Age of Ultron though.
Well, yeah, well, she was pregnant during that, so it's like, that's the reason why they put her behind the bar for no good reason. Like,
oh, yeah, well, wasted potential there, but anyway.
Yeah, right? the editing on this, though, I mean, because it's such an epic movie, it's easy to pick out the day for day shots and the day for night shots and shots that take multiple days to look at. And again, you can mark that up to uncontrollable continuity issues, which is the bane of any production person's existence. Ah, crap! The sun is like 30 degrees more to the east than it was yesterday. Fuck! I hope so. Some film school nerd doesn't look at that. Q 6 months later, me in the movie theater. Hey, that sun's 30 degrees to the east where there was 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, I don't scan movies as critically as you do, ZJ. Because
I'm a film school nerd.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think if I would look at it that much, I think it would kind of ruin it for me.
And I wasn't the first. Okay, don't get me wrong. The first and the second viewing, I wasn't really paying that much attention. But I noticed it the second time around because I'd already seen what was happening before.
You can actually take a look at what's going on around the edges where they stop caring as much than in the center of the screen where all of the action is.
And considering the second time around, I wasn't paying attention to the hot supermodel that CJ likes a little bit too much, but we won't go there.
Which one? Oh.
Yeah, I like that. Which one?
I killed Dale.
You broke him.
I broke Dale. Please reboot Dale. I mean,
we need a toothpick to find his reset button.
Yeah, right.
Turn him off and on again.
Other than that, like, I didn't see a lot of continuity issues. Like editing, I mean, you really now that you're 11 movies in, if you don't have the editing and the post production stuff down, no. So like most of the complaints that I have are minor complaints that are environmental at best. Like they were filming when it would be a little bit too windy one time, and you would see Scarlet Witch's outfit float a little bit too much. And then they would immediately take the camera away from her.
It's like the nitpickiest review of Captain America.
I'm trying. Well, it's mainly because I really fucking like this movie. So, like, I'm trying to be.
All right, let me get my one thing that I had a somewhat of an issue with. Then,
all right,
the pacing in this movie is really, really good. It's just nonstop, and it's there and it's gone and it's done before you know it hits you.
Yeah. But oh crap! Hold on a second. I have to turn on. One second, I gotta turn on Alpha Geek.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, golly.
Oh.
Welcome! We're doing Captain America Civil War Rant Review. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. All you missed was some talk about wind blowing.
And sun.
Scarlet Witch's cape.
Yeah, I picked all the nits.
Scarlet Johansson's.
Anyway.
I picked all the nits, and we're good.
Yeah. And pacing. But it also kind of suffered because it took me out of a few places because it was like, all right, we're in Lagos and now we're in Berlin and now we're here and now we're there. And like, how much time has passed? And like, they were just in another country and this guy got here. And how did they get all these people in Berlin this fast?
They knocked them out and gave them some caffeine afterwards.
And how did Tony Stark get to the Winter Soldier headquarters before Captain and Bucky, who left like a day before him?
Slowest Quinjet ever.
Apparently, like, the Iron Man suit is way faster than the Quinjet.
There
was some of those just like continuity and where they were and how they got there.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, now we're here. Okay, now we're here. I was like, wait, that would take like a day to get there. Has a day passed? Like, and this thing blew up and Captain America was in another country, but he's like there to chase down the Winter Soldier who's in another country, and he was just talking to Scarlet Witch, and that had to have been like a day ago, but I'm confused as to what
has
day
an
it is.
Personal anywhere.
Clearly.
So pretty much Vision was 50-50, right?
50-50, what do you mean?
Like half practical and half CG, right?
Yeah, it's it's Paul Bettany basically in a motion capture suit at all times. So I mean, he's actually there in purple face. Yeah, basically, he has the purple face and then the bright blue outfit that is not too not happy with, doesn't do good with your happy parts.
It's very clingy.
Very, very clingy.
Something about happy parts. But that's all I got from that. So another thing about pacing as well. Now, I kind of enjoy movies that can loop back into themselves quite well.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. 99.9% of movies can't real well. Like they have an opening sequence. Then they play off that opening sequence. Mm-hmm. But 99.9% of movies don't go back to that original sequence.
Age of Ultron being one of those.
Exactly. And that was my biggest gripe with that. My one big gripe with that movie is it just never linked into itself. This movie does that really, really well. And you can tell that this movie is based off that opening sequence.
Yes.
The rest of the events kind of play off that. What I particularly liked about that was they actually played the whole first opening sequence again later on in the movie to kind of illustrate all the events that have played out.
Yep. So yeah, your cold open played part into it, which is good.
Yeah, and from dot to dot and from different perspectives too.
Yes.
Which is another thing in this movie, a lot of different perspectives. And I'm talking technically. Not character-wise, I'm talking technically a lot of different camera angles and perspectives that showed off a lot of, particularly the scenery, but a lot of the action in this movie as well.
Yes.
You know, Chris Evans' biceps and that camera angle. Oh, parts, but anyway.
Oh, that was the one moment where Katie and I both like started breaking out laughing was when he popped the helicopter.
Yes.
Man, this is like the fanniest fan service I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I mean,
the what?
Look
the
at the helicopter.
Look at them guns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, with as many butt shots.
Guns, look at these guns.
With as many butt shots as you get of Scarlett Johansson and Scarlet Witch, you know, getting
yeah,
some.
Scarlet Witch outfit is very fan service-y.
Yes. My favorite meme now currently on the internet is the fact that somebody caught Chris Evans obviously staring down her cleavage. And like very obviously, and then the internet went internet on it, and oh my god. it is
Chris Evans wanted to have his shirt off in that helicopter scene, by the way, but it like, kind of doesn't make any sense.
No, nah, man.
No, the shirt, Chris Evans.
Spent years making these bad boys. Look at these guns.
Would have gotten a 10 if it did that. I'm just saying.
Would it have got automatic 10 at that point of the
movie? Automatic 10. I mean, if the characters took dumps on the screen, I wouldn't have
done better. 10.
Just pulled down their pants and started shitting everywhere.
Wow, this Marvel movie got really.
They didn't, but they could.
Really weird. All the weird fetish stuff.
You're talking about a Marvel movie, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is supposed to be it's PG-13, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's still supposed to be. Well, I guess kids that grew up with Iron Man are probably a little bit older now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but it's still supposed to be. Their target market is going to be like older kids, right? Like teenagers now, right?
Yeah.
But they still want the kid market. They're still selling
toys.
Iron Man masks and toys, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to target the younger ones, but I don't think I would take a child to see this.
Okay, here we go. I took both of my kids to see it. I took my 6-year-old son and my 5-year-old son and my 6-year-old daughter to go see it. And now we've been through this. My first movie that I ever saw in the theaters when I was 6 was Jurassic Park. My kids have seen all of the other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Other than a couple of times, they were completely cool with it. I did have to explain kind of what was going on with why the entire airplane hangar scene, and then Spider-Man showed up and my son didn't care anymore. he's absolutely enthralled with Spider-Man because, and I quote, "My favorite part was Spider-Man, Daddy, because he was having more fun than he was fighting." And I'm like, you know what? That's what Spider-Man needed to be. That right there is exactly what Spider-Man has deserved to be since 2001 when Spider-Man 1 came out. Having more fun and playing around than actually fighting.
I'm so glad they didn't go the Amazing Spider-Man route.
Oh my god, yes.
And
still never saw those.
I actually, two, probably my favorite movie of that year. But anyway, that's just on a movie level, not technically.
Yeah, but say.
As a Spider-Man movie. But just as a production wise, but I'm glad they went Amazing Spider-Man. You got to think this movie had zero F bombs in it.
Yeah, there was like only two or three S bombs in it. So like,
yeah. And well, two son of a bitches and one ass, and more than one ass, but them saying the word.
But I'm ching.
One of the best ones is delivered by Spider-Man.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
When Giant Man. When I forget what his character name is, but when Ant-Man turns into Giant Man and it's just like that.
Oh, no shit!
Oh shit! Crap!
Does anyone else have any spectacular powers? I've been waiting until now to reveal.
Yeah, I mean, besides if they did not have Spider-Man in it, this would be like a very. It wasn't a very playful fight without Spider-Man.
Yeah, it would have been a lot darker.
All parts of it were. I mean, the Ant-Man stuff was very playful, and the like when Hawkeye and Black Widow are fighting, it was very playful. I don't care.
Yeah, they had to interject some funny in there because if not, it just wouldn't have been an enjoyable fight. I mean, watching heroes fight each other isn't supposed to be enjoyable.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're seeing two different ideologies, which might add that neither side is wrong.
We're kind of getting into the second half stuff here. So what we'll do is
I will say.
Oh, go ahead. I'm loading up the mid-show stuff anyway, so you can go ahead and do your talking.
I've just got another point on the classification stuff, and I'm not a parent, full disclaimer, that I know of. I always like to say that.
Dale, my love, I have something to tell you. Just in case. Okay.
Baby by itself. I could be an uncle, I guess. I don't know. But anyway.
By the way, my kids really want you to come back, Dale.
We all want Dale to come back.
Also,
bring Tim Tams.
I told you the Red Velvet ones are discontinued.
They'll come back. They have to.
Jazz is getting desperate.
Although I'll bring some jubes with me.
Some jubes. So you can put your jubes in the oven. And
Well, since Dale came to
slam
us,
your Tim Tams.
Why don't we go to Dale next year?
Because no one wants to come to Australia. But anyway.
Well, I disagree. There's a person there I wouldn't mind bunking up with, but.
Kids thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
She has a boyfriend, but anyway.
We'll what? Damn it! Dale, you have failed this city!
Why is that my job?
You're supposed to be my wingman.
Anyway, that me not being a parent. The only thing I would say, if anyone here is listening and is afraid about children coming to see this, the only thing I would set them up for is that opening scene.
I think
the opening scene could be emotional for some people.
Yeah,
if you're not ready.
That's one of the parts where my kids jumped and kind of hit. And because I'm like, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, D blowing himself up.
Yeah.
And
oh my God. Oh yeah. There was that part. I'll get on the second half where I actually had to cover my son's eyes. Because even my children realized what was going on in that scene.
I was sensitive to it for other reasons apart from. It took me out of the movie, but I was sensitive to it for other reasons, but that's just me personally.
Yeah.
Family and whatnot. Anyway, traffic incidents are the worst. Just the worst.
Yes.
But anyway, So, but that's the only thing that I would set them up for. And if you gave them context in terms of how that played out, I'm sure, you know, it wouldn't be too much of an issue. It was just prepare yourself. Stuff's gonna go south.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm gonna go ahead and get this out here. If anybody wants to send me any kind of bad feedback about me being a bad father and bringing my children to the movie theater, give me a good reason why. You can send that to cj@geek-io.net, and I will be happy to discuss this with you in a civil manner.
And it's with parental. Technically, it's with parental guidance.
Yeah,
this movie's got an NA 15 here, which means you have to be 15 years to see it yourself. Or with parental guidance. It actually got regraded upwards because of that opening sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just got to know your kids. That's all.
And that's exactly it. My kids I knew would be able to handle most of the stuff in there. That opening scene is pretty much the only part. And also them out Batmaning Batman. They took that a little bit too hard too. Them doing a better Batman origin story than freaking Batman versus Superman did,
which is not holy difficult. Crap.
No, it's not difficult, but it's like, man, how much of a shot is this when freaking Marvel does DC movies better than DC does DC movies?
Which part are you talking about, CJ?
The Winter Soldier killing Thomas and Martha Wayne. I mean, Howard and Dottie Stark.
It can't be Dottie.
It's Dottie, dude.
She went through the Black Widow program. She can't have kids.
This is Howard Stark we're talking about here. He created a freaking wormhole.
Yes.
With a Gamma gun.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't unfix Dottie. Here's some robot ovaries for you, Dottie. Here, please have kids with me. And also, here we go. Dottie is older generation of that. There's nothing saying that specific program didn't start that until after she got pregnant.
And no, I'm not uttering the phrase robocock. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think. No, I don't think that's the case. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, so we will go ahead and we're going to take a quick break, do some ads. During the break, I'm going to go ahead and play, since they just released it as a single, Panic at the Disco, Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time, off of their brand new album, well, not brand new, their newest album, Victorious. Yeah, it's pretty brand new. It's just this year.
This is what, like a couple weeks or a month ago, something like that?
Month-ish.
No, the album's been out for The album's been out for at least 3 months.
Oh.
And by the way, I'm also playing this because you...
Never mind.
By the way, I'm also putting this out here because they've so graciously allowed us to play this music on our show. Death of a Bachelor is 99 cents on the Google Play Store. If you go ahead and just get that there. It's a good time, and I won't threaten you with
it. I've heard Weezer's pretty good too.
Yeah, Weezer's great too. The new album, yes. I finally went back and listened to them because I'm going to see him in concert.
And it'll be a good time.
It will be. I'm not going to be threatened with it. All right, guys. So we will be back here in a couple of minutes with Storyline and not Stackage because it's a different show, and Tito Scores. Stay tuned. Yeah, why is that low?
Here at Geek.io, we're always happy to give some support to the little person. So today I'd like to let you know about a small internet startup called Amazon.com. Go to geek-io.net/Amazon to check out their large catalogues of books and magazines. I believe they may have some other items for sale too, records and videotapes perhaps. Using geek-io.net/Amazon, let them know you discovered them through us, and I'll throw a few pennies our way. Thank you.
Hey you! Yes you, fine listener of this program. You can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support so we could do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geek-io, or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
I just woke up in my underwear, no liquor left on the shelf. I should probably introduce myself. You should have seen what I wore. I had a cane and a party hat. I was the king of this hologram, where there's no such thing as getting out of hand. Memories tend to just pop up, drunk pre-meds and some rubber gloves. 5,000 people with designer drugs. Don't think I'll ever get enough. Cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between. I roam the city in a shopping cart, a pack of camels and a smoke alarm. This night is heating up, raise hell and turn it up. Say it if you go on, you might pass out in a dream, but I'll get.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
These footprints, they don't look very human-like. Now I wish that I could find my clothes, bed sheets and a morning rose. I wanna wake up, can't even tell if this is a dream. How did we end up in my neighbor's pool, upside down with a perfect view? Bought a bar at the speed of sound, fancy feet dancing through this town. Lost my mind in a wedding gown. Get it now. Champagne, cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between. I roam the city in a shopping cart, a pack of camels and a smoke alarm. This night is heating up. Raise hell and turn it up. Say it if you go on, you might pass out in a dream, but I'll get.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Try to stand. I lost a bet to a guy in a chiffon skirt, but I make these high heels work. I've told you time and time again, I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. And we all fell down when the sun came up. I think we've had enough.
Oh, man. If that song does not get you amped up for the second half of the show, I don't know what will.
Stuff and Things.
Oh, yes. But that song is so good, though. That entire album is so good. Like, legitimately, really, really great.
It's a fun album. I listened to it. I dug it.
It is fan-freaking-tastic.
I should buy it for a buck.
You should buy it for a buck. And know the link that I posted in the show notes that will be up there. I don't know how long the sale's going on for, but that is not a referral link. So it's just because they're awesome and you should all buy them because it is one guy doing all of the music and singing.
So Is that album only a Bucky?
You're fired.
That was too dad joke for season.
Yeah, when it's too much of a dad joke for me, you know it went too far.
Wow.
That international lag, though.
All right, so second half of the show of Rant and Review is where we talk about the plot and all of the things. So if you're really you have a lot of issues about spoilers and whatnot, this is probably not your favorite part. But
goodbye.
Yeah, talk to you later. Sorry, Germany, we'll be banned in your country still.
Not that we haven't dropped some spoilers already. So,
yeah.
Patreon.com/right.
Yeah, patreon.com/geekio.
Including that big reveal at the end, you know.
Yeah. So, all right.
With the old CCT.
All right.
I have to go around the horn. I have to ask this. Team Captain or Team Iron Man? CJ, go.
Iron Man. Absolutely regulation.
Really?
Yeah.
Team Cap. Forever.
Well?
Team Cap.
I'm also Team Captain. No, that's not because of Chris Evans, but that's
bullshit.
It's because of the mug. It's because of the mug.
Cough is coming back, right?
Yeah, I know, man. Oh man, I just can't get rid of this cough. Bullshit.
So anyway, moving on. I feel like if you put, I understand putting a dog on a leash, but tying that dog down to the ground with two iron balls and make sure it doesn't move, that's kind of...
When that dog can legitimately destroy the world, yes!
put that thing in check, though.
Yeah, like, seriously. I mean, just the airport scene, just that airport fight scene shows the reason why that, like, they all need muzzles, especially fucking Scarlet Witch. She is too overpowered. Even in this, when she doesn't do her reality manipulation, she is still ridiculously overpowered. Like,
she is way OP, man.
Like, when Raul's like, oh, they don't have Thor or Hulk in this, I'm like, oh yeah, just because they're trying to make more things human. And then I saw Scarlet Witch slam Vision through 300 stories. I'm like, wait, what?
And catch a bomb.
How do you think the movie portrays the two sides? Do you think it, like, kind of lean towards Captain a little bit more? It's an American movie.
Yeah, this show definitely leaned towards Captain America. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. The Russo brothers definitely were pro-Cap, Team Cap on this. Like, and if that wasn't made obvious, literally every person except for War Machine decided eventually that they were on Captain America's side. But it was too late for them to go back against it.
Yeah, too late now.
I mean, if it was an
Iron Man. Even Iron Man's like, I don't know.
Yeah, even Iron Man's like, I think we screwed up on this, guys. The only person that stuck to their guns at the end of it was Black Widow, or was War Machine.
War Machine, yeah. Which, yeah. True. If it was an Iron Man movie, though, we would have got the reversal of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no doubt.
As just a script writing, and yeah, back to the first half, but as a script writing point of view, it's again all about perspectives, and we kind of slipped a little on.
You know, position everything to you know, manipulate your emotions a certain way.
That's
what movies do.
Yeah,
it's a purpose.
They can do the exact same thing as in the comics, the Registration Act, where it's like, oh, you have to say who you are, what your powers, and all that, because in the universe, in the MCU, everyone pretty much knows who everyone is.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, but
Spider-Man doesn't really. Rachel says I'm not allowed to fire you, Dale, because that was an epic dad joke. No, that was too dad for me.
That was too dad for me. Again, I don't have any children, that I know of. I'm not helping my case here.
No, you're not. Uncle's close enough. Let's take a discussion on some of the people that were involved from the newer people, including Scarlet Witch in this, because she didn't do too much in Age of Ultron that was to this level.
So yeah, we got lots of her.
Oh yeah, we got
Vision. More Vision than I expected, actually.
Yeah, right.
Vision.
Greatest
thing ever.
Yeah, I do. I do want to see a web series with cooking with Vision. I've never actually eaten anything before, so Also,
I love the way he dresses.
Jar Vision can accessorize, man. He is the most metro android ever. Like, who taught him fashion sense? Seriously, because that is fantastic. I want to hire them. If you can make an android look good, I want you to make me look good. I'm gonna think it was Hawkeye.
Based on the original,
had to be Hawkeye.
Jarvis, he knew how to dress.
Yeah, but I'm gonna still say it was Hawkeye that taught him how to dress because, well, Hawkeye.
I don't know. Hawkeye doesn't wear sleeves, so that went out like 20 years ago.
Yeah, probably Tony. I would say it's probably Tony because of his money.
Yeah, I mean,
about that chef's outfit.
Yes.
I did like how they sprung up like Hawkeye. He just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Worst dad ever, by the way. Seriously, worst dad ever. Dude, you literally just had a kid a year ago and you're already like, F retirement, I'm coming back, I'm gonna shoot some things. Oh, there's my best friend, I'm gonna punch her in the face.
Wasn't that the
Let's fight.
Point
like, oh crap, now I'm in jail forever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you are now literally an intercontinental, you're an international villain by law now. So you have completely screwed your entire wife of children, who Dale's right. Your entire arc of old Age of Ultron was to leave and go back to them. This made no sense.
I love the Jack outfit. Yeah, I know you're playing to my fantasies, but the whole point of Age of Ultron was this massive coming home of Hawkeye. Again, no reason, but
yeah.
apart from me getting furious. But
No, I'm the same one. I'm like, why is he? What is he doing there? Like, you're a dad. Stop this. No.
They had to get him there somewhere so that they could shoot Ant-Man off of an arrow.
Yes.
No, they didn't. No.
Yeah, that had to be a thing, but still. Like... It just
we had Spider-Man Ant-Man with webs. Like, what was the point of the arrow? Like,
because it was iconic. It's just like it. I don't remember because I didn't like the movie. But did he ever punch? Did Cap ever punch Hitler in Captain America 1?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I really didn't like that movie, so I didn't pay too much attention to it.
I need to watch it again.
About,
I remember enjoying it at the time, but I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, Aunt May, Marissa Tomei! Oh my God!
You know, how many Spider-Man origin stories are we gonna get?
Well, this one was handled the best. Like, hey, some stuff happened. Don't worry about it. I'm really strong, though. Okay, cool. We're moving on.
It's like, it's kind of a long story. All right, don't worry about it.
What was his name? Steve. Where's he from? Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yes. He's
from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. I got quite a few good looks in. Good. Yes.
Literally all seven of us that stayed behind in the theater because we knew that was going to happen.
Oh my God, that was so good.
But anyway.
Also, I'm here to a surprisingly amount of people leaving after the mid-credit scene. Like, have you guys never watched a Marvel movie before? What is wrong with you people?
There's almost always one at the end.
Yeah, Age of Ultron is literally the only one that they didn't do it on. Like, and people were pissed off about it. So...
I like the subtleness that they did with the incident with the car crash. They showed it to us on what, 3-4 separate occasions?
The car crash itself only twice.
Yeah, they showed it at the beginning. They had like 2 or 3 times in the times in the middle,
and then they give you
the full one.
Which I thought like. You know, back of my head, you know, I've watched enough stuff and good writing and everything. I was like, why do they keep showing us this? And then at the very end,
they're
showing it. I was like, Like, as soon as he started showing, he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, like...
That's Tony's parents.
Yeah. And I by the way, I freaking love how they pulled this entire MacGuffin of the extra Winter Soldiers. Like, yes. Baron Zemo. Yes. Zemo is great in this. He's a freaking fantastic villain because he didn't actually do much. And that is the best. Like, he plotted this entire thing out to pull them apart and did, like, pretty much nothing with it. Like, he just let the strings just unravel themselves.
Kind of like...
So you're saying he was a better Lex Luthor than...
Yes, exactly. He out-Lexed Lex and still did a better freaking Batman origin story than Batman.
In this movie...
Here's the comparison. Ozymandias from Watchmen.
Ozymandias, yeah.
Yes.
Ozymandias.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like he did... And the thing is like, I love how they played on the fact that he didn't have to do much.
He just pushed the one little domino and he just like let it happen.
And then I'm sorry.
The line that got me was the I don't want to kill anyone, but I want them to kill themselves.
Yeah. And then he tries to kill himself. I'm like, oh no. Like, all right. So sorry, there were two parts that I had to cover my son's eyes. One was the holding the explosion because obviously it's still generating and he's in incredible pain. Like, Crossbones is still screaming when she's holding him and levitating him. I'm like, oh no, hand over the eyes. Oh no, oh god. And then when Zemo cocks the pistol and ready to hold it up to his own head, I'm like, oh no, oh shit, oh god no. Like,
not again.
Do you think they took Crossbones out early so they wouldn't have him? Oh, he's gonna.
Be the one who kills Cap. Oh yeah, that was the kicking the comic book fans in the nuts part of it. Like, Crossbones is here. You all think no, you know what's going to happen? Whack! No, you're wrong. Whack!
Well, because at the end of the Civil War arc, Cap's not dead. He's arrested,
and then he's shot by Crossbones.
Yeah, shot in the next arc.
No, at the end of Civil War 7 is where he is shot.
Really?
Yeah. He is shot dead in Civil War.
Huh. I thought it was in the next
comic. They end it right there, and then the rest of the fallout happens in Cap 157, I'm wanting to say, which is the Captain America right after that, which is the dealing with his death.
Loss.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
because it was Crossbones sniping him in the beginning of that, and then it got it further into the where Sharon Carter had shot him with a pistol, which was magically time bullet pistol that sent him back in time, and shenanigans happened. And
comic book logic,
comic books, yes,
time travel, whee! Magic,
real
bullets.
Time travel.
Also, yay, Sharon Carter getting a full name drop and being a fleshed out character in this movie.
Hooray.
Also, incredibly cute.
I appreciated that one.
But oh, Peggy Carter died.
Yeah, poor Peggy Carter. Oh man,
she's like 100.
Yeah,
still.
That was the official stomp on the you poor Agent Carter fans think you're gonna get a season 3. Ha ha ha! You're funny.
Like, yeah, that's my Aunt Peggy. Wait. She's your aunt. Your last name's Carter, so that means that your aunt has to be a Carter, and she only had a brother that has to be a brother because your last name's Carter. So that means Michael is alive. Our theories are true.
Yay! Small screen spoiler show, proof positive that we'll never get an official word on.
Maybe Netflix will give us something. So pretty much with her dying in this movie, she's in no life-threatening in any of the Agent Carter episodes, right?
Oh no, she's in life-threatening trouble all the time. Like,
she's not dead unless she dies and then they bring back a clone or something.
No, she never dies. It's obvious that this is a flash, that Agent Carter is a prequel. So, like, and even if you had any questions, the beginning of Ant-Man solved that. Because
still out of 10 Ant-Man, but anyway, we'll move on.
What?
Quickly, I haven't.
What? Oh, dude, that's one of
what?
The...
Dale! What is wrong with you?
Well, first...
Now you are fired. Like, I don't care if you out dad joke me, but no, you have to freaking see this movie before next week.
Okay. Yes, boss.
Get on that, man. Ant-Man is great.
It's so great, good.
Great movie.
It's amazing. I mean, it comes off like
it's Ant-Man. Most...
And they make it good.
And it's
like,
great.
Marvel, really man. It. Freaking wonderful. Making Ant-Man of all things.
Reason.
Fucking fantastic.
They sneak a romantic Ant-Man comedy into a Marvel movie.
Yeah, a romantic comedy slash heist movie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and making it great. Like it is one of my top three moves. Oh.
Wait, what? What about Daredevil?
He said Deadpool.
I've seen Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool. Yeah, I know. But
yeah, I mean, Dale's barely 17, so he could barely get into Deadpool.
Ant-Man came in on video like a year ago, so come on.
I trimmed my beard this week. That doesn't mean you can...
Yes,
yeah,
it
anyway.
Does.
Time travel
me. Changes nothing, Dale. Changes nothing.
No, it does not.
Anyway, moving on. 23 this year, guys. Anyway, moving on.
All right, so we're all in agreement that freaking the Spider-Man and Black Panther were just amazing in this, right?
Oh. I haven't actually formed an opinion on Black Panther yet.
What?
No.
Yeah, me either. Like, I liked Black Panther.
He instantly, like, his cold just great. He's, oh my god. Like...
He didn't wow me.
He wowed me.
Pissed
like
me off as much as he didn't
I
piss me
it.
Off as much as fucking what's his face in this movie? Hawkeye. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, brain, for farting there.
No, that one actually made him being there made sense. Unlike Hawkeye.
Anyway, moving on.
Me off. Also,
I did like his transformation towards the end there.
Yeah, but also the mid-credits scene there basically tells us the Black Panther movie is going to be Captain America Civil War 2 : Black Panther. Like, that's basically what's going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Because we've got Captain America there, he's got Bucky frozen in his magic
carbonite, and
then again, it could be Bucky and Black Panther.
The buddy cop movie?
Bucky and Black Panther. Save the world.
Oh. Black Panther, save the world. B&B.
No, but I mean, they obviously are the ones who broke everybody out of the raft. So, you know, you're going to have Team Cap and Black Panther trying to resolve the issues and capturing Zemo, since he has Zemo. So, like, we're going to finish up that and random Martin Freeman insertion that made no sense. Like...
There's got to be more to him.
There has to be.
You don't get Martin Freeman
for two lines.
Two tiny little scenes and he's done.
Yeah,
there's
like
be more to that.
I looked at that and I went, again, what are you doing
here? Yeah, like, and it was such a big thing when he was casted. Like, massive thing when he was casted.
And it's like, what are you doing here?
Though it was kind of surreal, you know, sitting down in the theater and first hearing Benedict Cumberbatch's American accent. And then
his American accent. By the way, Benedict Cumberbatch is absolutely just completely ripping off Gregory House at this point. I'm very convinced of it.
Yeah, sounded like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I heard that. I'm like, because I heard somebody say it. I'm like, nope, you're not wrong. That's kind of freaking me out here, man.
And let's see, Doctor Strange is what, in the middle of the summer?
November.
Oh.
No,
so
the next. The next geek movie, next big geek movie is Age of Apocalypse or Apocalypse X-Men, and then Suicide Squad. No, I'm actually, after seeing the new trailer for Apocalypse, the theatrical one, I'm actually excited for it. Like, I liked Days of Future Past
and
really
Days
liked
Future Past.
Yeah, those were solid.
I enjoyed. Those are good
you
movies.
You know, when you go to the movie theater and the most exciting preview is Now You See Me 2, you've got something wrong with your life.
I did not have that preview.
I did, and I can't look at Zuckerberg anymore. Freaking what's his name?
Jesse
Lex Luthor. Yeah. I can't look at him anymore after Lex Luthor. Like, you've completely just ruined my opinion of you. You were really bad at that, and no.
That looks good, though.
But, no, but they gave us. They're adding Harry Potter to the mix. Come on.
And his penis.
We have an eighth Harry Potter movie coming, or a ninth Harry Potter movie coming out next year. By the way, they've already announced.
Right. More of
with,
a spinoff.
No.
It's a prequel.
No. Not even the Magical Beasts. The new one. The new Harry Potter book. The one that's the based book. On the
yeah,
play.
The child.
Yeah, the one yeah, that's yeah. based on the play. They're going to turn that into a movie. Because
oh, of course they are.
Yeah, because why not?
That's because a good idea.
No, we don't want all that money. Why would we do that? Why would we want that?
Is it going to be a bridge between the end of the fighting and the last 5 minutes of the last movie?
No, it's after. It's dealing with Albus Severus and his whole thing.
Oh, they're doing the Naruto
this
thing.
This is like, yeah, like basically 20 years after or something like that.
Yeah, it's Albus Severus and his people's doing Hogwartsy things.
We'll get back to the Civil War in a second, but I will say this. What was I going to say? Oh, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles preview as well. We've got that one.
That still looks fun. Yeah. Like, that movie
that's
looks fun.
It looks okay.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, but it's going to be fun as hell.
My inner child is
oh yeah,
thrilled.
Like, no, we've been through this. I liked the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Like,
me
I'm not
too.
Afraid to admit it.
Me
it was too. It was fun.
It was terrible, and it was great.
Yes, exactly. It was so bad, it was good.
I would like to remind everyone that I reviewed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Teenies in Time. So,
Teenies in Time?
What?
Picture.
Yes. The California wow. Bitchin' Kitchen.
Should I tell you that last time I was on the show that someone made
but,
a California Kitchen?
I don't think they can make another Ninja Turtles 1 because that was a great movie.
Yeah. Like
the original,
oh, the original movie. Yeah. Well, I mean that's that, but I don't know if you would want that now. Like, cinema is so much different. No, it really doesn't hold up.
I know the 1993 one doesn't hold up.
No,
at all.
None of them really hold up because they aged very poorly. Like, they aged about as poorly as those suits did, I'm sure. it was great seeing Kevin Nash as a Super Shredder, though. Like, that's a great thing after being a wrestling fan and realizing who that is. Like, oh, it's Big Daddy Cool.
Big Daddy Cool.
And they have Green Arrow.
Green Arrow is Casey Jones, which is going to be fun.
Plus,
and
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Bebop and Rocksteady, yeah!
And Krang.
Yes! Yes! I'm ridiculously excited to see this movie. Like, I'm far more excited than I should be.
Which Krang are they going to use? Dimension X Krang or
all of them? I want all of the Krangs. I want the alien inside the belly Krang of the big bald thing,
oh.
And then also
yeah,
also
that.
The robot Krangs.
They do.
Yeah, they had the robot belly thing in the
yes.
Movie. It was very cool, but it was there.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles gets in.
But they also had like a bunch of spaceships coming down, which I'm pretty sure the you know
it's the Dimension
X
ones. Yeah,
aliens.
I'm okay with this. So, all of the Krang, just literally all of them.
Yeah. Give it to me. Put it in my eye holes.
They're also coming out with a game that I have to buy. They're coming out with a new game based on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the show. But also crossed with some of the world of the movies because and my kids saw that and yeah, now I have to buy it because well, I have success with
the series is amazing.
Oh yeah. It's really good. Like that new Nicktoons, go back a few, like it was about 6 months ago now when Alexandra and I just sat and read, like vented about that show for almost a half hour here. It's so good. So Civil War.
So now that we're completely off track,
let's Tito Civil War.
Does that mean we're done talking about?
Yes, this? Yes. It means we're Titoing okay. this up. All right, Raul, you have 30 seconds. Go.
All right, I'll go first. I liked it. I mean, it was kind of biased towards Captain America, hence it's a Captain America movie.
Yeah.
But I did like that you could choose a side because you did feel like they were too powerful and they had to be controlled, or that putting more red tape on something on, okay, is this evil or is this good or is this bad in the hand of bureaucrats is not a very good idea.
It
was good action. I mean, the action was on point. It had they had to interject comedy into this movie because it was a very serious topic for
yes.
this universe.
Well, I mean, just serious in general. Like, you're dealing with a terrorist attack, basically, on par of 9/11, and you had to put some kind of humor in it.
Yes, I mean, the fight sequence between Spider-Man, Hawk, the Falcon, and Bucky.
Yes.
I thought was amazing.
Also, Spider-Man facing Bucky. Oh, you got a robot arm. That's so cool. And just, like, holding it there.
Catching it.
Yeah, and just holding it there.
After
and Bucky looking so...
put through a wall. Just like, tapped by that metal arm.
Bucky
like
looking freaked out.
Nerding out on technology right there.
By the way,
those wings carbon fiber?
At that point, Spider-Man started to annoy me a little bit. It's just like, okay, then.
Oh, no, dude, that's like, the Spider-Man I needed.
Fight, people don't talk that much. Not this much.
Yeah, that's the Spider-Man that we needed, though. Like, you need that in the middle of battle, incoherently, just kind of rambling and saying stupid things.
It was refreshing.
I mean, this is the best version of Spider-Man
I've
ever seen. And he was only in there for like
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
But he was the best Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. Ever. I am so amped for Homecoming now. Like, and now knowing that Tony Stark is in it, I seriously want Tony Stark and Aunt May going out on a date. Like, that's what I want. I want.
You know that's happening.
I want those two to go out on a very super awkward date together, and Spider-Man just following them around town because it's Spider-Man.
No, I want Spider-Man and Tony Stark to go on an awkward date.
Well, it would eventually come to that, like them going to the movies or something like that, and Spider-Man sitting between Iron Man and Aunt May.
I mean, watching Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want. I want super awkward Tony Stark's ex-Aunt May relationship in Homecoming.
I mean, we've already had Iron Man in Spider-Man's bedroom, so there.
Yeah. Yeah, Dale's fanfiction's already halfway written. I mean...
No, how awkward would that be? I mean, not Spider-Man 3, but say Spider-Man 1. What's her name?
Oh, the older Aunt May?
Pepper Potts.
Oh,
it's the same actress, right?
Paltrow?
No, it was Kirsten Dunst in Spider-Man 1.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Wrong.
Yeah. Wrong redhead.
All right, so my final score
are you going on about?
For this... is I don't want to it's kind of hard because I'm going in between, but I'm going to give it a 10.
A 10? Nice.
Wow.
Boom.
This is the full perfect 10.
Boom.
Holy crap.
Jazz.
Wow.
Is this just a show because everyone knows I don't like the movie as much as everyone else for some reason? It's just a matter of making me feel bad.
Jazz, what you got for me?
I filled it in for you, Dale.
See that, done.
45, yeah.
Wow, Dale really loved this movie.
So much fun watching this movie. Like, it was everything I wanted it to be, and it was just super, super fun. And just the inclusion of Ant-Man and Spider-Man, just the little taste you got, It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. It was just right. And it was just, it put it over the top for me. It was just, I love this movie.
Yeah.
It has its problems. I'm not going to lie. There's some weird plot holey things. And I thought Baron Zemo was a great villain. It's awesome that we finally had a villain who, you know, he didn't have any superpowers. He just outthought everybody and totally manipulated them.
Oh, yeah.
It was definitely one of those over the top plans that, you know, is it one little thing could have destroyed this whole plan. But anyway, it still worked. It's fine. It's a comic book movie.
Yes.
I'm not going to get into that. But I don't think I can give it a perfect 10 like Raul, but I'm definitely giving it a 9.5.
All right.
Man.
All right. I love Dale, you go next because I don't want us to end on a bad note.
Oh, sour note? Oh, please. Come on now. You know you want to. Okay.
Dale gives it a 4.
A 45. We've already established this. All of the Tito's in the theater.
You're breaking up, Dale. What's that? What?
I'm sure that came through.
I'm glad that's recorded now.
CJ's new text tone for me. Anyway,
you're not wrong. If you ever texted me.
Well, that's true. Anyway, so, you know, I've come around on this movie quite a bit. Here, where's my notes? There's my notes. I have this scripted out.
Fully work, fully, 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 fully.
I've come around on this movie quite a bit, which saddens me to say out loud. Now, it is... CJ's getting sobby already.
Yes.
I haven't even started. But in saying that, the reason for that is this time... The reason why I say that is it takes time, not lime. It takes time to digest this movie. And it takes lime, I guess. My stupid list is coming through. And you just have to sit back and ponder about the plot and how deep this movie can go. And yes, it can take another argument in terms of, you know, the political ramifications. And yes, I do listen to conservative morning talk show, and they are currently talking about the current environment in relation to a quote-unquote civil war. But that aside, it's good. But on the other side of that, you really have time to ponder the holes of this movie, and you really get to focus on what you hate about the movie. Now, these things shouldn't bother me too much, but they really, you know, can overshadow what you like about the movie. For example, Hawkeye being in this movie for no reason at all. No reason.
They needed someone for Black Widow to fight.
I can name you 5 other characters if you wish that don't include Hawkeye. Spoiler alert. And just little continuity errors that I can't let go of. And that the reason for that is because, of course, of everyone saying how perfect this movie is.
I didn't say that.
It is a well-balanced movie. I will give it that.
Well-balanced breakfast.
It is a well-balanced movie. In the mixture of emotions and what the message is trying to deliver. But the favorability does kind of bother me a little bit. And it is trying to be less of a Captain America sequel and more of an Avengers sequel, unfortunately, in its framing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but as the universe grows, I think you're going to be more and more forced into that.
Yeah, see what I'm thinking Black Panther is going to be. I mean, Black Panther is going to be Captain America and Team Cap and Black Panther.
Yeah, and we've got a Black Panther movie coming. So,
well, that's what I'm saying the movie is going to be.
Oh, yeah. So, and I understand as the movie universe grows, you have to include these characters, but I think And yes, I understand the Civil War kind of background, but there are characters here that just didn't need to be here and were included for the sake of just being included. And I would put Spider-Man in that list, unfortunately. As much as I did like Spider-Man in the movie.
Yeah, I will give you that. That just kind of came out of left field. Like, Tony's like, I know a guy. I'm like, okay, wait, is this worse? How the hell? How does he know about Spider-Man?
It's fudged.
And how does he not know about Ant-Man?
Yeah, right?
And how does he not know about Ant-Man? Which I
would
argue
this guy?
Is also fudged in there, but I don't think we have enough time to go along that point. So there's fudging going on in both areas, and that's fine. This movie feels full enough. You don't need to wedge more characters in a movie. Yes, all the characters did have reasonable development on their own.
Except for Hawkeye.
It did try.
No, it didn't! There was nothing for Hawkeye to do there.
He got all his development in Age of Ultron.
Okay.
He had like five lines and shot Ant-Man off an arrow. Like, that's it.
Well, for main characters, per se, there's enough development here for, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, and, you know, the main crew. And no, I'm not putting Hawkeye in the main crew because no way does he deserve to be.
Oh, poor Hawkeye.
Okay.
No, I hate Jeremy Renner. I hate Jeremy Renner, so I'm good. I'm good with you not liking Hawkeye.
I don't mind Jeremy Renner.
I do. His jowls bother me. He's droopy dog.
Yeah, there's worse people in the universe. You have to give me that.
Yeah, is there though? Is there though?
Come on, Dale. Stop. Just stop stalling and just give us your painful. Right. You're right here. Come on.
It's a passable movie. No, I'm just kidding. It is. It's a solid movie. That's all it is for me. It's a solid movie, and I have seen it twice. And that second viewing did raise it up a little bit because I could look around a lot more than to what was going there to kind of understand what was going around.
I'm gonna hit the gong now.
I give this movie a -2. No, I'm just kidding. someone put that in the show notes, a -2. I'm going to give this movie an 8.
Hey, I properly predicted what you were going to put it in. Other one. Yes.
10 minus 2, there okay. You go.
10 minus
2. Yeah, 8's fine.
All that for an 8.
Yeah.
That was quite the doctorate thesis there for an 8, Dale.
I was going to give... Okay. Do you want me to tell you?
No, my turn. I'm gonna go with a 9.5. Moving on.
9.5. Okay.
Bringing it to 9.25 for the average, and that's all I'm giving because Dale just like ate up everybody's other time for Tito scores. So.
Wait, so you said 9.5?
9.5. This is my second favorite movie, because. Guardians of the Galaxy has a very high bar.
Yeah.
9.25 for averages, by the way.
Legit.
Very legit. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. You can reach us. You can watch us Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time over at geek-io.net/live, twitch.tv/geekioshow, tunein.alphageekradio.com on channel 1 by 12 p.m. on Australian Eastern Daylight Time and on diamondclub.tv. You can get a hold of us via email at geekioshow@gmail.com, twitter.com/geekioshow, facebook.com/geekioshow. Geek Hotline is, of course, 727-489-4335. 727-489-GEEK. I'm gonna say what's next week because I forgot to write it down here. Major changes for the mana pool. Humongous changes. F.
I just wanted to say F.
Jake, I'm tired of the fire mage and
no. Very major differences going on in the mana pool. So tune in next week. What that is going to entail? The entire show is going to change, and I'm not even joking with that.
Not even.
No. All right, so now because I still can't find the Summer SmackDown movie update clip
And now it's time for the summer.
It's time for summer movie smackdown.
Wow, we all jumped in there.
All right, I'm going to cut that one out and use that from now on.
For the cheer.
No, it's a tie.
Raul in first place still with $8.7 million. In second place with $5 million. That's going to change next week. Rachel's in third place with $2.2 million. And Dale and Jez are waiting for their first movies.
Oh yeah.
And they're gonna remain. I think Jazz might overtake me, but I think I'm gonna start in last.
Well, Raul got to ride that sweet Jungle Book movie.
Yeah, next week.
Ratchet and Clank took a giant dump.
Oh yes.
But Civil War is gonna pull her right back up. So.
Oh yeah.
I think Angry Birds has me at least 2 to 3 million. I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 2 at most. With Angry Birds.
It'll make a little money. It'll make a little money.
Now, the one that I think would be a sleeper hit will probably be Sausage Party.
We'll see. I'm not holding my breath on that one, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it might be a Ted.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's more going to be a Ted 2.
It's
going to
be more of itself. I think it's going to hit a new category. It's going to be more epic.
All righty. Well, this week on the Geek.io website, there's a lost episode of Small Screen Spoiler Shows floating out in the ether somewhere.
Yeah.
That might get posted. And then there was one recorded Tuesday because external factors of the universe trying to keep us from spoiling.
Well, yeah, we might just end up having to do a double show on next Tuesday.
Probably. How it stacks? They said it's time for Animaniacs.
They stacked
them Animaniacs. Go check it
also,
out.
JD is fired from How It Stacks, so...
Wow, okay, JD and I are joining the unemployment line.
JD is officially leaving How It Stacks.
Together.
And then joining him is going to be not Scotty because he runs another podcast network. Jazz, you're going to be replacing JD because I say.
Okay.
Jared, How It Stacks. Jared, and Gabe, there you go.
Yeah.
Back together again.
Jared and Willis.
Jared and Willis. Professor, there you go.
But no, it's good stuff. Go check it out. And Life of an Accounting Droid does some more Game of Thrones things.
And some balancing ledger things, and I'm not joking with that. That is the most...
balancing ledger.
I love you, Neil, but you run the most confusing show of all time.
We're going to balance some ledgers. And then
he talks about balancing ledgers and reviews geek stuff. It's fascinating to listen to, but it is like three shows. It's his three shows that he was doing all rolled into one. And like it gets.
Yeah, what was the one the other week? There was the marketing one that I listened to, and then it was something. The other side of
it was like Batman v Superman.
Yeah,
and marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
which is actually kind of, you know, you could tie those together pretty well.
I love you, Neil. But yeah, seriously, dude, you run the most confusing show on this network. And this is coming from this show which does three different shows at one any given time. So,
speaking of confusing shows, at
least we have Rant and Review.
Rant and Review, Manipul, regular show. And Gamer Geeks when we can do it. So,
and Geek IO Watches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We haven't done one of those in a while. We're going to do that.
Yeah. There you go. Also, please remember to visit our Patreon site over at the very not confusing link of patreon.com/geekio. Very easy to remember. To help us out with a small monthly donation. If you get a little something out of the show, please consider helping us out. Please consider helping us out by going to California Pizza Kitchen now with a small monthly donation so we can do more for you. Lots of rewards for you to go have a look at. $1 a month goes a long way for me to take speaking classes.
Yeah, English is Dale's second language, so...
And does Dale have, does accept. He does accept payment in California pizza and macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
Oh, I had mac and cheese for lunch actually.
But not American mac and cheese.
No, not lobster mac and cheese.
Did it have a stick of butter in it? It's not American.
This is factual.
No, but the mac and cheese maker at CVS does, which is fun fact.
Right.
We can be heard over on geek-io.net/Stitcher and geek-io.net/iTunes. Leave us an honest review and we'll gladly read it on the show.
Holy crap. I just scrolled up to the top. Oh my god. Okay. Show title candidates for episode 152. This is the first time I'm actually reading this. So here we go. And there's still more being added. Holy crap, there's like 2 pages worth now. Your CGI is showing. Picking all of the nits. Confusing timetables. Poor Bettany in purple face. Spider-Man was having more fun. Why is that highlighted? Here's some robot ovaries for you. That international lag, though. The most Metro Android ever. Hawkeye, the worst dad and human being ever. Thank you, Brain, for farting. Super awkward Aunt May date.
It takes time.
Not wine to digest, even though I said lime. There's fudging going on everywhere.
Dear Lord.
Pay sale in California pizza and scrolling to the top. Holy crap. What the hell did I just read?
Because most of things that you said. For once, it's not
a lot of them are your quotes, man.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, it's not just me. A bunch of things that I, a bunch of stupid things that I said.
Yay!
All right, folks. Aww. On that note, we will be back here, right here for the Manipool next week, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks for Geek.io show. So, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Laters.
Bye.
Peace out.
This has been a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.